Good morning. It is Friday. Not exactly the regular time for WFSU's perspectives, but we thought, gee whiz, it just seems like such a nice day. The sky is clear. The sun is shining. Birds are singing in the trees, the ones that are still remaining in a vertical configuration. And it is blessedly cool and dry across North Florida and into South Georgia. But that's not the reason we're doing a special perspectives this morning. We're continuing the conversation that began yesterday as we all recover from the storm that came through just, my gosh, it seems like weeks ago, but it was only a matter of really 2 days that we had Hurricane Michael come whipping through our area and causing so much devastation and trauma, although luckily no fatalities in our area here in Leon County and the Capital Region. I'm Tom Flanagan with this special edition of Perspectives, and you can always be part of the conversation at 850-414-1234, or if email is still working for you, perspectives@wfsu.org, because we want to hear how you weathered the storm and what is going on in your recovery mode as we all start moving around, getting a bit more mobile, finding out what is open, where to find gasoline, where to find groceries, all those kinds of things that we need to get our lives back to a more normal situation. We're joined by WFSU News Director Lynn Hatter, who is just aggregating so much content, it is not even to be believed. But Lynn, we made it through another 24-hour cycle. We're ready to kick it again.
We have made it through another 24-hour cycle, Tom, and we do have some news regarding, people are wondering, of course, schools and kids and where are they going to go. You may have heard my conversation earlier with FSU Police Chief Perry. They did a flyover yesterday to go check on the status of the FSU Panama City campus. You may have heard him say that that campus has a lot of water damage, a lot of structural damage. We just heard from FSU that the FSU Panama City campus is going to be closed indefinitely. It has sustained roof and water damage and broken windows. So students who are going to that campus, faculty who are out there, closed indefinitely, and please keep checking Florida State University's website for more information on the status of that particular branch. But as of now, FSU Panama City closed indefinitely. With respect to the other counties, here's what we have so far. Again, we telling people continue checking for the most recent information that you can, but TCC has no changes and they plan to reopen on Monday. FAMU will reopen Monday as well. Gadsden County is still closed until at least Monday. Franklin County is still closed until at least Monday. Wakulla County is now closed through Tuesday, October 16th. Bay County schools are closed, but reports from Bay suggest some people do have phone service. And Leon County schools are still set, again, to open on Monday as well. So, again, just keep checking to see when those schools may or might reopen. It's probably going to take a little longer for schools in some of the more hard-hit areas such as Bay, Gulf, Franklin, and Wakulla to open. So just keep that in mind.
Still, we are looking, at least in the city of Tallahassee, somewhere around 89,000 electrical customers remain without service. That was the latest I heard from Gina not too long ago. So we may be in a posture where a lot of folks are coming offline because their phones are dying and they're unable to get a charge. Large situation. I think we have some emergency backup on that, don't we, Kim? By the way, this is Kim Kelling. She is our Director of Content for WFSU Public Media, who also joins us. Kim?
Yep. Thanks, Tom. We know that the library, the main public library, Leroy Collins Library, is going to be open today from 9 to 7 as a comfort station. People can go there, charge up their phones, get out. Well, it's not hot anymore, so that's a good thing. But at least take a break. I think people are probably getting a little housebound, feeling the need to explore. One thing I do want to say, please remember that if we don't clog up the roads with traffic, it makes it a lot easier for the crews to get out there. Yesterday when I was driving home from here, Thomasville Road had major pole damage, and they had, for about a mile, two lanes blocked off, and it just was a mess of traffic. And, you know, it just makes the job harder to get our power back up if we're out for no reason. So only go out if you really need to go out.
Let's get an update here from the Emergency Operations Center of Leon County, the public safety complex out there in Easterwood Drive, where Regan McCarthy has once again, bright and early, gone traipsing out there to get the latest. Hey, Regan.
Hey, Tom. Yep, I'm here at the EOC, and I'm actually joined by Christina Paredes. She is with the Leon County Office of Economic Vitality, and she's going to give us a little update here on some of the businesses that are opening up. Can you just maybe run down sort of a quick list, sort of highlighting some of the businesses that might be of most interest to people?
Absolutely. We know that our Walgreens locations are open, our Walmarts are coming back online, Publix and all the Targets are as well, and our office is actively reaching out to each one of these businesses. Basically, your grocers, your hardwares, Lowe's and Home Depot are open, and as well as the pharmacies, too, to make sure that people have the essentials that they need as well. Kim, you mentioned charging stations and being able to get online. Domi Station is also open, and if you need to plug in and get some work done, they're hosting people. They have Wi-Fi, AC, and coffee. I know that we can all use a good hot cup of coffee. So they are open and available. They're located at 915 Railroad Avenue.
Mm-hmm. I know I heard people talking about sort of what supplies are and aren't available at some of these stores that are beginning to open. I've heard some places have generators still. I think Home Depot, I heard, has generators still. Costco, I've heard, is open and has ice. I've also, I went to Target myself yesterday. I was looking for more flashlights and fans. They were out. But Christina, I think you said that some of those supplies are expected to be restocked soon.
Yes, we are anticipating that. I know I saw trucks parked outside of Publix's on my way in. Home Depot and Lowe's both had generators as of yesterday around noon when we spoke with them, and Costco does as well.
Mm-hmm. And tell me sort of what is the importance of these stores opening? I know it's important for people who are looking for supplies, but it's also from your viewpoint and from the county's viewpoint, an important thing for the community.
Absolutely. You know, for both the city and the county, one of our biggest focuses for the Office of Economic Vitality is getting these businesses back open so that our community can begin to return to normal. And we know that there's a long road ahead in the days and weeks as we move forward, but we're working closely with our state and federal partners to be able to provide those resources to our businesses so that they can recover from Hurricane Michael.
Mm-hmm. Back there in the WFSU studio, any questions you might have for our expert here?
Yeah. Hey, Christina, Tom Flanagan, and congratulations to your ascension to the head of the Office of Economic Vitality.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Right in time there, Christina, for a big job ahead.
I know, right? It's an inaugural first 10 days.
Well, welcome aboard. Talk about a baptism of fire. Now, you were talking about the resource you have for folks to find what is open and not. I noticed that it is OEV4business.org/business status. Is that still the main resource that you guys have online for folks to determine what's open and what ain't?
Absolutely. And we are actively making calls to update that map. You can also self-report openings and closings. Mainly, we're asking people to do that for restaurants. But if you drive by and you see a business open, or if your business is open, you can log on to that website and self-report that in.
Okay, go ahead, Kim.
Christina, I wanted to ask you, do you know about gas stations that are open that we can share? Because I noticed driving in, quite a few are shut down, I assume, because they don't have power.
Yes, there are a few. We're tracking that online, too. I know on my way in today, I saw some of the Gates and the Circle K's were open. We do know that there is plenty of fuel available in the Panhandle area. It's just a matter of getting the stations open through power and getting the resupply into that area.
Okay, great.
Christina, I wanted to jump in here. You mentioned restaurants, too, and I wanted to say, you know, I think it's so helpful and so nice and gives that sense of normalcy that you were talking about with restaurants opening. I've been working here at the EOC. It's been kind of late nights for us in the newsroom trying to get things done. I was able to go to a local restaurant last night, and it was so nice to just be able to, you know, have some power, have some light, be able to, you know, talk to people, see my food, have some air conditioning to sit in, and have a meal cooked. And so I think you're right, that feeling of just normalcy, having a little bit of normal life and those niceties, I think, is a really great part of this recovering from the storm.
Absolutely. And that's our primary goal and focus here, is to be able to do what we can to help those businesses and our community return back to normal.
Anything else, guys, for Christina before she goes back to trying to assess exactly how we are getting back to normal here?
Hey,
in
Christina, this is Lynn. Can you just reiterate the website where you guys are logging the businesses at, please?
Yes, it is oev4business.org/business status. You can follow us on social media. We have it on Facebook, Twitter, and our LinkedIn as well.
Gotcha.
And then just on a note there, Lynn, if you are experiencing any damage to your business, you can report that in to the state at floridadisaster.biz, B-I-Z. That is a great resource for us in the state to be able to see what type of damages our business are experiences. That helps a lot to drive recovery efforts and resources in as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, because we've already been hearing, especially in our coastal communities, that there have been a lot of longtime businesses that have sustained heavy damage. So that's great information to know.
Yeah, if they don't have any power or anything, they can give us a call, and we'll be happy to log in that information for us. But again, that website for business damage assessment is floridadisaster.biz.
Got it. Thank you so much. And we know that there are crews going out now, fanning out across not only just Leon County, but other counties, preparing to do those very crucial damage assessments.
Thank you, Christina. Really appreciate it. And Regan McCarthy, I believe we're going to have an update from local officials and first responders and all of that coming up at noon, right?
That is tentatively the plan right now. I haven't seen an official confirmation of that, but that is the belief. And as I'm here at the EOC, I will keep you posted on that. And I'll also be checking in with other officials around the area, trying to get whatever the latest information we have is. And I'll be checking back in with you guys as I get that.
Okay. Thanks so much. Regan McCarthy at the Emergency Operations Center. Out on Easterwood Drive, the public safety complex of the city of Tallahassee and Leon County, kind of the hub of the disaster recovery effort, as it was in the run-up to preparations for the storm. We are going to take a quick time out, and we invite your participation in our recovery conversation here on a very special edition of WFSU Public Media's Perspectives. 850-414-1234 is the number, or perspectives@wfsu.org. Or if you'd care to send us an email and share your experience, we'll be right back. We are back on WFSU's Public Media Special edition of Perspectives. How was everything at your place? If you did not shelter in place, if you went elsewhere, came back to the old homestead and saw exactly what Hurricane Michael had left it in as far as condition is concerned. Well, we'd like to hear about that. And if you have any helpful hints as to how to make the next encounter with a storm a little bit less damaging to your property and your sense of reality, we want to hear from that too. 850-414-1234 is our number, or you can send us an email. Here's something here. Volunteers needed in Gadsden County for water distribution. And if you would like to help out in that area, give them a call. These are all 850 area codes here. 875-0153, 875-0153. They can get that kicked off at 8:30 in the morning. So today's water distribution effort in Gadsden County, well underway, but they'll be continuing that tomorrow. That area, Kim Kelling, was hit particularly hard, especially the western part of the county where that lone fatality took place.
Correct. And I think what we're finding out, and this will be verified as time goes on, that Gaston County experienced some tornado damage. Just the nature of the way some eyewitnesses have shared how trees were knocked down. It was such a big burst. It had to be some very strong winds that did that. Tom, I just want to – I'm going through the list, and I know people are eager to know what's open, what's closed, and if they don't have access to websites, I just want to reiterate that all the Publix are open. Home Depot, Lowe's are open. Whole Foods is open. CVS, Walmart, and Walgreens are open. There are different restaurants. The thing that is hardest to see is gas stations. Some are starting to open. It's all dependent on if they have power, if they've been able to bring in a generator to fire up their pumps. But there are some Shell gas stations that have opened. There's a Sunoco gas station that has opened on 1417 South Monroe Street. Again, all of this is coming from the Office of Economic Vitality site, the OEV4business.org/business status. So if you do go to a comfort station such as the library or Domi station, you can find all this information out.
All right. Something else to keep in mind, that some of the businesses that are open may have some problems with their POS or point of sale system. They may not be able to take debit or credit cards. A number of organizations around town have already posted in their entryway,
cash only.
And if your ATM machine is down and you don't have an emergency stash of cash somewhere, this could be a problem.
It could definitely be a problem. Gas is becoming definitely a situation right about now. Regan just texted us. The gate station on Magnolia is open.
Yay.
She
that,
says.
That was open yesterday.
That was open yesterday and it's also open today. And I know, you know, speaking of gas, we're hoping that our gas here at our station.
It is. We got confirmation that we are back in business. We, like everyone, we're dependent on a generator to keep us on the air. And we just found out we were running perilously low. We were all on fumes. Some people might say that we always are on fumes. But anyway, we did get notice that we have been refueled. So we will not go down here at our main WFSU campus. We are concerned about Panama City. In fact, our general manager, David Mullins, is heading to Panama City right now to see the status of our translator out there and how much fuel is left. So if we go down in Panama City, which is where we least want to go down, we are working hard to navigate that. So stand by. We do not want to leave you stranded out there.
Yes. And, you know, for our listeners in Panama City, please keep in mind there's also WKGC in Panama City 90.7. Again, it's WKGC.org. We're not entirely sure of their status right now. We know that they are still broadcasting digitally, at least. We know Bay County, for you guys, communication right now is very difficult. There are some severe outages for people trying to call in and out of Bay. Networks are still down. There are crews en route, we do know this, to Bay County to restore communication services. The people who are calling, lots of people on sat phones right now, the people who have got them, but repairs are being done. We can tell you guys that right now. Some people do have a little bit of service through Verizon, but this has been sort of true throughout. Even here for Leon County, we had some pretty serious network issues last night. Leon County let us know that as well, and people may have noticed that, you know, maybe you can make a call, maybe you can't get text messages, maybe you can. That is true for a lot of us, and so the networks are slowly starting to come back up. Crews are beginning to make repairs now to those.
Now, normally you'd be listening to 1A here on WFSU, and the reason you are not is that we are continuing our special edition of Recovery Perspectives following Hurricane Michael to share with you what we know, and we'd also like to hear from you as to what you would like to know if we have not already mentioned that. And you can let us know at 850-414-1234. Hope your communications devices are working and you can share what you have seen and heard and how recovery is coming along with you. Even in the city of Tallahassee, some main arterials remain blocked in full or in part on the way in this morning. Old Bainbridge Road, which is a designated canopy road and took a very hard hit from the storm until a bunch of intrepid residents along there came out with their chainsaws while the wind was still blowing and took care of at least some of the major blockages. But there's a lot of work to be done on that. High Road also in that western part of town is still blocked in between Tharp Street and, Old Bainbridge. So they're working on that right now. But crews are out. I saw crews this morning from the Jacksonville Electric Authority, Gulf Power, and some other towns, as well as City of Tallahassee. So those mutual aid agreements are really coming in handy.
The mutual aid agreements are coming, and they are vital. Already, we went from about 97% of Leon County without power down to 81% now of County without power. That's really good. What's not so good, though, and still of concern, is the situation on the ground in Gadsden, Liberty, Franklin, and Gulf, where last time I looked, 99.99% of people in Gadsden County are powerless, Tom. And the situation in Gadsden County is still really perilous. They're still advising people to travel with caution if they can travel. I was speaking briefly to the Gadsden County Sheriff's Office yesterday. Early yesterday, or it may have been late Wednesday night by that time, and there had been a report of two verified tornadoes touching down in Gadsden County, but they told me that there were actually several tornadoes touching down in Gadsden County, and the tree damage in there is extensive. So travel cautiously. It will be a while. I don't want to tell people that your power is going to be up by the weekend. State officials are already estimating that it could take weeks for power to be restored in some of these very hard hit areas. Again, you still have severe power outages in Gadsden, Liberty, Franklin, and Gulf counties.
All right. And that's a good point, Lynn. You don't want to be overly optimistic here. Hope does spring eternal. But my daughter, who's in Atlanta, was monitoring a network capsule summary of the hurricane situation down here. Number one, they showed a school with a roof off of it. Mm-hmm. And on the graphic, it said it was in Tallahassee. We did not have any schools here that lost roof.
No.
It was actually in Panama City.
Yes.
And then they also said, but officials predict that by Monday, everyone will have power, which is absolutely ludicrous. That is not going to be happening.
Suzanne just chimed in here. PowerOutage.us website says that the state outages are now at 292,600. They did get as high as, I think, about 400,000. So still making headway, but it's going to be really hard to restore power given the severity of the damage, not necessarily in Leon County, but definitely out in, again, Gadsden County, Franklin County, Gulf County, Bay County.
All right. And while we are on the subject of coastal counties, real quick before we go to Meg on line three, Suzanne, who's back in the booth, pulled this last night from the Carabel Chamber of Commerce Facebook page. Resort vacation properties on St. George Island, employees are safe. We'd had some real concern about that. Mm-hmm. All those vacation property employees, both those that did and did not evacuate are safe. The folks still in Franklin County, although, have no water or power. For those who left, there is no way back into the county from the East Highway 98 is still a problem. It's buckled. It's washed out in many places between Carabel and East Point. And the exits that you need to go off of I-10 are closed. All you can do is pray for the folks to the west that they will get there. Condition of St. George Island, also a major concern. It was reported about 50 people stayed on the island through the storm, so the images we see are their posts or from security cameras on their property. The sheriff's department sent two deputies across the bridge for a safety check, and the condition of the island is what you would expect, an enormous amount of standing water, flooding on the roads on the Bayside, overwhelming, still no power or running water on St. George Island. And for those who evacuated and want to go back home, again, you're just going to have to wait. It may be Monday or even later before
is
they
the bridge,
get that up.
Is the bridge still closed, Tom?
Yes, the Sheriff's Department did get across it. So apparently it is passable. However, for full traffic, they're going to have to do an evaluation of that. If you remember, folks, how it was with Hurricane Ivan out in Pensacola, it actually lifted entire sections of Interstate 10 across the bay and dumped it into the bay. It was remarkable.
Speaking of Interstate I-10, I-10 is now open. It was closed yesterday from Apalachicola all the way to Funiak Springs. It is now open.
Open. That is good to know. Meg's been hanging on the line here. Meg, welcome to our Special Perspectives. How you doing? Hello, Meg.
Yes. Hi. I live in Tallahassee in Waverly Hills, and when I listen to everything that's going on, I know we're extremely lucky, you know, trees in the neighborhood and that.
Lost Meg.
Yeah,
Meg.
Did we... there we are.
Any idea of we're on particular, you know, we expect this neighborhood, then this neighborhood. And that was one of the frustrations several years ago, you know, last a couple years ago, is you just didn't know where you were on the list, whether you were first or last. And it didn't almost matter because they did the best they could. But I didn't know if they were going to be able to do anything like that.
Hey, Meg, this is Lynn. So the way that the city of Tallahassee, Leon County, goes about restoring power, they go basically according to priority. Mm-hmm. And so they always try and get sort of the main arteries open. They try and get like hospitals and everything else powered up. And then they sort of go around and try and get the biggest chunks that they can. So we can't tell you when Waverly is going to be back up. We do know that your particular area did sustain a lot of damage. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that it's probably going to take them a little longer to get there because there are several trees and power lines down in your area. But they do have a system that they're going about doing this. And it might be, too, that Regan McCarthy is down at the EOC, so she might be bringing in someone later who can kind of help explain this further. So that's definitely going to be a question that we ask them.
Lynn, what is isn't there an app and a website that gives a rundown of where the city is with their outages?
There is the city of Tallahassee's power outage map, but that map only shows current outages. Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily list
like
people in priority.
Okay.
Yeah, for example, the city does prioritize people who have severe medical needs. They tend, and the areas they're in, tend to go up before a lot of the rest of us. So that system is just, it just goes according. I say power grids work in mysterious ways because they do. But Meg, we're going to ask that question and see if we can't get an answer for you.
Because I think that would be helpful just to know, okay, Waverly's, you know, going to be after Indian Head Acres and after this and after this, or wherever they are, because I think that's the part that people just, you know, they understand and know they're doing the best they can. It's just kind of, how do you know when they might be getting to you?
Yeah, noted.
So, okay.
It is. We'll see what we can find out, and the same for Talquin Electric for those who are on Talquin Power as well.
Well, like I say, we consider ourselves very, very lucky, so and I appreciate this program. It's very helpful.
Thank you very much, Meg. We appreciate your being part of it here, too. Let's go to Roy, waiting on line one. Hi, Roy. Welcome to Perspectives. How are you doing? Hey, Roy.
Well, good morning. I was calling to, just give a little small update. I haven't been listening to y'all very much. I just turned you on recently. I live right on the Georgia-Florida line out 319. County Road 12, as you can imagine, being rural out here and all these trees, had a significant number of, you couldn't go all the way through to Meridian Road. You are able to not only do that now, but we have trucks out here from Talquin Electric, as well as our vendors from other counties already working on the lines out here. It's just very encouraging to see the quick response. I've been very fortunate. I haven't had any structural damage, but like everybody else, I've got plenty to do with a chainsaw and cleaning my property up a little bit. But that was just about it. Hope y'all are all doing good, and appreciate y'all's update to the public.
Oh, thank you so much, Roy, and glad you are still with us, sir, and that you escaped with a minimal amount of damage. Off we go to line two. That's where Judy awaits. Hi, Judy. Welcome to Perspectives. Hi, Judy.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning. Go right ahead.
I have a sister who's in Sneeds in Jackson County who took a direct hit from the eye, and she's got a horse farm over there and in dire need of supplies I need to get to her. So what my question is do any of your listeners know if Highway 90 is open from the Pat Thomas Parkway over the river and into Jackson County to Sneeds?
Yeah, I know we had some partial closure of Highway 90 as of yesterday. 511, that's Florida 511. That website is the one that actually even local law enforcement has been using to determine what the status is with not only 90, but also Interstate 10 and 98 down on the coast that continues to be a problem. We're trying to look that up for you right now, Judy.
It is 90 is open to Sneeds.
Wonderful. That's great news. So that means I can get supplies over there today.
You may have just a little bit of a hold up in Chattahoochee, but other than that, it looks open for you to get there.
This is a life-saving bit of information. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Oh, appreciate that, Judy, and hope everything's okay out there on the horse farm, Lynn.
Hey, Tom, and I have a couple of quick updates from some of our city commissioners. Scott Maddox posted on Facebook, a storm update as of 36 minutes ago. All of our power plants are now available and ready for service. The repairs on our transmission lines, which are the large ones that provide the most power, are 50% complete. More than half our nursing homes and senior facilities do have grid power today. The line connection with Southern Company, one of our sources of power, is still being worked on. Southern's system received considerable damage. Yesterday and last night, tree crews worked clearing paths and detangling downed lines. We have 30 mutual aid utility companies working with us today. We expect good progress today, and their goal is to get, here it is, 90% restoration by the end of the weekend, guys. So that is the city of Tallahassee's goal. And
that's encouraging news. We'll have more encouraging news on the other side of this break as our special perspectives continues. Continuing our special perspectives, the recovery, the aftermath of Hurricane Michael, how it impacted not only Florida's capital city, but also the Panama City area, that whole coastal region going up into South Georgia and other environs. A nasty storm, and we are now trying to get our lives back in order following it. We want to hear from you at 850-414-1234 for our special edition of Perspectives. Tom Flanagan, along with our Director of Content for WFSU Public Media, Kim Kelling, and WFSU FM News Director, Lynn Hatter, who are looking over all the latest information that's pouring in through various and sundry sources to bring you up to date as to what is working and what is not working. Lynn?
Yes, and Commissioner Gil Ziffer says, as of 11 minutes ago, 83% of traffic signals are operating normally at all critical intersections. So hopefully good news for Leon County, City of Tallahassee, but let us not still forget our friends to the west of us.
I mean, let us also not forget that you come across a traffic signal, no matter how insignificant it may seem, it is a four-way stop, and that's under Florida law. And saw someone blow through one of those yesterday. There just happened to be a city police officer on the side road, and zap, that was very unfortunate. Phones are starting to fill up. Yeah, go ahead.
Just quick update. Talquin Electric posted that their water system sustained damage during the storm, and they're asking people who are utilizing Talquin water to please use it sparingly so the system doesn't go down.
Ooh, good to know. David's been hanging on line three. Hey, David, thank you for calling. Welcome to Perspectives. Hello, David.
Hey, how are you, Tom?
Hey, we're doing real good, sir. How are you?
Doing well. Better than I expected. So I'm doing very well.
Well, what can we do you for today?
You guys are. I called. You were asking a couple questions about some stuff you wanted to know. We're working through. You guys talked a little bit about the traffic lights. We're trying to keep as many people off the roads as possible. If you don't have to be out, please don't. We're still trying to get all the trees off the roads as much as possible and trying to get everything back to normal as quickly as we can. And you can definitely help with it. If you don't have to be out, please don't be. And as you said about the traffic lights, you know, when you come to them, if they're not working at this point, treat them as a four-way stop. We did have a couple of accidents yesterday that involved that part of it. But what can I help you guys out with? You guys are looking for some information. What can I do to help you?
Yeah, we're primarily wondering about some of the main arterials that we have here within the city. We had referenced earlier things like High Road, which had got some major tree stuff.
You're cutting in and out on me.
Oh, okay. We were looking at things like High Road and also Old Bainbridge and Miccosukee, the canopy roads particularly.
What about those, sir? I apologize. Part of the question cut out.
Okay. Just what's going on as far as the opening of those major roads that you have here within the city that are still, as of like this morning, we're still in question. Do you have a restoral type of schedule or any guess as to when those might be open?
Well, the biggest thing I would say, and I actually live not too far off Miccosukee Road, the trees themselves have been cleared off the major arteries. Right now, the only thing that's really blocking the roads are the power lines, anything that got knocked down that way. I know that on Miccosukee Road, not too far from the hospital, I think over by Phillips, when I was coming in this morning, that's still blocked off. And the reason why is the wire that crosses the road is completely down. It's covering all four lanes all the way around. So at this point, we've as law enforcement and first responders, we've gotten out and we've gotten the majority of the trees off the road and at least off to the sides on the main roads. We're waiting on city utilities to come out and the utility crews to come out and start putting the other parts of it together.
Okay, now go ahead, Lynn.
David, just a quick question. We had a caller earlier, Meg from Waverly Hills, who was inquiring about when people in some of the neighborhoods could expect. Is there
a system?
I apologize.
I'm still having some of the same issues. It's like cutting in and out. I'm hearing like some buzzing.
Gotcha. Can you hear me now?
I can, yes, ma'am.
Okay, we had a quick caller asking about when certain neighborhoods can expect to be back up. Is there a way that they can track that to find out if they're in line for power restoration?
I don't believe there is. The problem that they're running into and how it's done in the past, and obviously as first responders, we don't have a whole lot of control over when they're able to get the power back on. But I know there's a succession that they typically have to go through. You know, this line has to work because it feeds into this line. So they can't, you know, as you get into neighborhoods and go through, and I know they're trying to do the largest areas that are affected first, you have to, and I'm trying to think of the best way, the old science project, you know, where you got your battery and you've got a line that comes in and it splits off and that goes two ways, and then sometimes some of those split off and go through. Mm-hmm. You know, that first part has to be done first to make sure that it works before you keep going down the line, because as they continue to put things in, if they do the third thing in line succession first and then go back and do the other two, there may be a problem with that third line in succession. So they've got to make sure that they're getting power all the way through, and that typically as they go through why it takes so long.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, and David, as far as the Leon County Sheriff's Office is concerned, any other information that you guys need to get out to folks beyond the four-way stops and try to stay off the roads and that sort of thing that you need them to know?
There are areas around town where they're doing water distribution. There's one out at Capitol Regional Park off the Parkway, or Appalachian Regional Park off the Parkway. There's one at the North Monroe off of right there at North Monroe and Fred George, northwest corner of that. There's also one out on Fred George Road at Capitol Circle. There's one out at Chairs Community Park. There's some water distribution there. I know the city has set up a couple of comfort stations. That's on their website, I think at TalGov. Just we're trying to get everything done as quick as we can. You know, our end of it, we're trying to help out as much as we can and get these crews at least the ability to get to where they can and get things done. We're still working our 12-hour shifts at this point, trying to make sure that as the power's out, we've got the manpower that we need to make sure that the city and the county stay as safe as possible. And I know the city police are doing the same thing.
Well, Dave, I know you're really, really busy. We'll let you get back to it. But thank you for taking the time to bring us up to date as to what's happening in your part of the world there at the Leon County Sheriff's Office. Thank you, Dave. Teams, you be safe, and we'll talk to you after it's all over, okay?
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all too.
All righty. Speaking of the sheriff's office, let's go to line one. I hear that there was, if not a party, certainly a celebration out there. Amanda Handley with the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association joins us there. Hey, Amanda.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
We are doing well. Well, tell us about this this big to-do that was out at the sheriff's office last night.
Well, all day yesterday and for again today, the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association has been working with some of our members who have power to coordinate meal service, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for various first responders throughout the city. We have provided meals to the Emergency Operations Center over off Weems by the Armory, the Tallahassee Police Department, the Fire Department, EMS, and the Sheriff's Department, too. We have been incredibly blessed with members who are willing to step up and serve the men and women who are working to get our community back up off the ground after Hurricane Michael. Last night, Chick-fil-A had 300 meals at the sheriff's office, and I was there for that delivery, and it was an incredibly powerful thing to watch. So all the deputies came in at about 6:30 for their 12-hour shift, and they had what's called check-on, which is, you know, they get sort of here's the status on the ground, this is what we're looking for, these are our missions tonight. And then they filed out of the building, and on their way out, they were grabbing, you know, the Chick-fil-A sandwiches and a bag of chips and a cookie on their way out the door, and it just really was a very powerful moment for me as a longtime Tallahassee resident to see these men and women heading out, you know, into the dark, essentially, since we're without power at night. And everybody was smiling and in good spirits. And it just really reminded me of how wonderful this community is.
Well, Amanda, the restaurants that took part in that situation there, are they open for general business right now, or was this just a special thing? They opened their kitchens insofar as they could to provide meals for this situation?
Some are open with no issues, and others I am honestly not clear on. As with everyone else in the city, we have limited cell phone service and things like that, and we are working, FRLA is sort of coordinating. We've got people running around collecting food and trying to coordinate by cell phone as we can. But I can tell you, I know for a fact because I've been there, Chick-fil-A on Tennessee Street is open. They're the ones that provided meals for the Sheriff's Department for lunch and dinner yesterday and are doing the same thing today. And I talked with Dreamland Barbecue yesterday, and he said that they were open for business and that, in fact, they had never lost power. So they are running at full capacity if folks are hungry. Other restaurants to check out for sure that have been participating in this, so we can assume they have some power at least, would be Bella Bella, Chicken Salad Chick, Willie Jules, Jacob's on the Plaza, Krispy Kreme, and Wahoo Seafood. All of those folks, in addition to Dreamland, have stepped up to provide meals, so we know they have some power, if not full power.
Oh, thanks so much. Amanda Handley with the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association. We sure appreciate that, and thank you guys and your participating restaurants for helping out the first responders and the recovery specialists there, Amanda.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom, for keeping our community informed. We'll be in touch soon.
Okay. Thanks, Amanda. Lynn, you got some new stuff.
Yeah, it looks like we have a caller on line 7, Vernon Bush. I know he's been waiting a while. Vernon, are you there? Mr. Bush?
Yes.
Hey. Yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
Thank you very much. I'm coming in from Jacksonville with a bunch of water for family in Panama City. I'd like to go down Highway 71 from Highway 10 to Wewahitchka, then cut over on 22 from Wewahitchka to Panama City, Florida. Does anybody know the status of those roads?
We're looking for you. We're looking right now. So are you on I-10?
I am. I'm just east of Tallahassee right now.
And you want to go down 71?
Down 71 to Wewahitchka and then cut over on 22 to Panama City.
71 is good. I'm looking. Yep, 22 is open as well. You should be okay.
Oh, that's such good news. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. But keep in mind, as you make your way, you might not still be able to get into the county. So just kind of note that as you make. You may be able to get close, but I do know that they have certain roads blocked off for entrance and re-entry. So just keep that in mind as you make your way, sir, and be safe.
I understand. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for doing that, Vernon. That's a really good. And if you get to a checkpoint and you tell law enforcement, hey, we have an emergency delivery of water for folks in this area, that may be enough to get you through. Also, gas issues here. Yes, I wonder about gas. That's going to be a toughie here.
The gas is, it's not so much that there isn't gas. Mm-hmm. It's just that the stations where the gas is don't have power to get the gas.
Pumps going.
So that, as we get more of these restorations in place, obviously Leon County is going to be quicker on that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be harder on some of these other counties.
And the state and Leon County are directing people to use Gas Buddy. Use the Gas Buddy app. I know some of those have not been updated in the past couple days, but that's really your best bet. That and effectively word of mouth. We do know a couple of stations are open, but again, if they're on generator, those generators might not be powering the pump. So keep that in mind. I do have a couple of updates. You know, with every natural disaster, it doesn't just affect people. It affects pets. It affects animals. And a couple of quick things. Our environmental guru, Rob, from WFSU-TV, has been sort of compiling a list. And just a couple of quick updates here. For some of our centers that do cater to our animal family, St. Francis, their main line is down, but their after-hours number is up, and that number is 933-2735. They are asking for anyone with a chainsaw, effectively, if you can get to their location in Quincy. They've got a huge live oak limb on their hospital building and several trees are down, which is blocking access to their outdoor cages. And they also have a note for people. I guess a lot of people have been bringing in baby squirrels. St. Francis is asking that people who find the babies to try and let the mother squirrel find them before bringing them into the center. So that's just a couple of quick updates they have. With respect to Gulf Specimen Marine Lab, we heard from Cypress Rudlow yesterday about their condition. There is flooding. Limbs are still down, but the building is up. They do need volunteers as well with rakes, shovels, and other yard tools to come and help them out. And Cypress says you can call them on Facebook. And that's about it for the animal updates. Oh, I'm sorry. St. Francis also needs people with power to do laundry because the animal bedding is getting dirty.
Oh, yes. That would not be a aromatic situation for sure. A caller was wondering about the Gadsden County Airport over there by Quincy, asking listeners if anyone had heard anything about that facility. It's not exactly a commercial aviation center, but they use it for an awful lot of skydiving on weekends, that's for sure. And it's also used for just general aviation. Folks with smaller planes use that as a base of operations. Has anyone heard about the status of Greater Gadsden County International?
We are looking that up now. But we can tell you right now, countywide power figures, again, power is key to everything, and Gadsden County is still in a 99% outage. But we are looking to see the status of the airport. If we can't give you an answer right now, keep listening. We're going to see if we can find out some information for you.
Now, as we clean up, another major consideration is going to be the amount of not just the debris from yards and roads and all that, but we are going to start cleaning out our refrigerators and our freezers, which died to a large extent during this whole thing. This is going to put a major demand on our solid waste situation without question. So Leon County has extended free of charge waste and debris collection at county facilities. Let's see, Solid Waste Management Facility out on Apalachee Parkway. Most folks know that as the former landfill. That is going to be open through tomorrow from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. The Rural Waste Service Centers will be open today, Saturday, today from 9 to 6. Then Saturday, tomorrow, and Sunday from 9 until 5 at the following locations: Woodville on Henry Jones Road, Fort Braden, East Joe Thomas Road out there, and Miccosukee on Miccosukee Road. And if you have access to the internet, it is leoncountyfl.gov/solidwaste. They also have the solid waste management number up and running during normal business hours, which we presume is today, 606-1800. And you can also check leoncountyfl.gov/EI for that. But you can imagine what's going to be going on here as soon as we start getting the stuff out of our various freezers and refrigerators and disposing of that along with the other yard debris that we have to contend with, folks. Let's see. What do we have for Taylor? Okay, let's do a quick EOC check-in here. We have just a few minutes here to go to Regan McCarthy. Regan, just a couple minutes before the top of the hour break, so go right ahead.
All right, great. I'm joined by Barry Wilcox here. He is heading up sort of the damage assessment effort in Leon County. Barry, let's just jump right into it. You want to give us a quick update on sort of what's happening with that?
Sure. The county currently, well, I should say the county, the city, and the property appraiser have all contributed 20 teams of two individuals each who are out driving the streets of the entirety of the county, assessing damage to structures primarily. They're looking for minor, major damage and destroyed structures in order to report to the state, which then goes on to Washington for hopeful FEMA funding.
Yeah. And so what does that look like? Like, how many crews do we have out there right now?
Right. We have, like I said, we have crews from both the county, the city, and the property appraiser at this point. We have, they're 20 teams of two, so 40 individuals total. They have smartphones with them that are loaded with a pretty unique mapping app that allows them to go address by address and look at each piece of property and determine whether or not it's been impacted by the storm.
Mm-hmm. And Barry, you said an important part of gathering that damage information is also self-reporting from people. So if I have a damage in my house, a tree fell on my house, I should report that to you guys.
Correct. Yeah. Self-reporting is one of the best things we can do. Obviously, crowdsourcing is always the easiest way to collect that data. People can do that through Leon Connect, through our app, or through Digitally.
Mm-hmm. And then all of this sort of damage assessment leads into how we can draw funds down from the national government.
Yeah, that's correct. I wish I could say there was a hard line there, but it's really determination of magnitude of impact. And we collect the data locally. We then pass it along to the state where it's aggregated and forwarded on to Washington and looked at to determine magnitude impact and how much, if any, funding we'll get.
All right. WFSU team, any questions that you might have here for Barry?
Well, I'll tell you, why don't we do this? Since Barry has so much good information, Regan, let's keep him on until 4 minutes past the hour. Then we'll do a quick two-minute news update from Gina Jordan. But before we get to that, I have to remind you, you're listening to WFSU-FM Tallahassee and WFSW-FM Panama City. Go ahead for a couple more minutes with Barry, and let's talk about, as disasters go, Barry Wilcox, how bad was this one? When you go out into the neighborhoods and look around, you think, oh, my God, we just got creamed with this thing. Is it really as bad as it looks?
It is worse than the last one. It's really hit or miss. I'd say the damage is widespread throughout the county. Our teams are out there now collecting the data for specific areas, so we'll have a much better idea of where the greatest impacts are by the end of the day. But just some preliminary analysis that was conducted yesterday, we were seeing, sporadic damage throughout the entirety of the county.
Quick question, Barry. This is Lynn. You were talking about sort of how this process works. Do you know what the threshold is for qualification for FEMA dollars? And then the second question is that the same pot of money that go to, like, individual citizens to help them, or is there a separate pot of money that that cities, counties, and municipalities draw down, and that separate pot of money is what the damage assessment is for? Just kind of break that down a little bit more for us, if you can.
Sure. I'll tell you what I know on this. There is not a clear line. as to, you know, if we eclipse X amount of destroyed structures, then we'll be qualified for funding. It's really determined almost subjectively on a magnitude of impact area-wide, and the funding does come through the state at that point. So they're aggregating our data here locally with all the other counties and cities that are collecting anybody that's been impacted by the storm that's collecting information.
Gotcha.
What about, Barry, we were just talking with someone from the Office of Economic Vitality, and she was talking about making reports for damaged businesses. Should someone with a damaged business also be making a report to you guys, or is there a difference between a damaged business and a damaged home?
While our crews are out there primarily looking at residential structures right now, we'd love any information anybody might have, any damaged non-residential structures, you know, offices, retail locations. We'd gladly take any of that information.
And one thing that I know that you said is helpful, if somebody is reporting that, to take photos too and send you those photos so that we can start sort of painting that picture of what does our damage look like and make that sort of subjective story of for why we need this money to recover.
Yeah, absolutely. Picture's a thousand words. You know, we'd love to see photos of that, and you can upload those through our Citizen Connect app and digitally. And our crews are out there with smartphones that are capable of recording notes on the damages and as well as taking pictures. So we'll have quite a few, I believe, by the end of the day.
This is Lynn. I just have a quick question for you. I feel like at this stage, we're getting sort of multiple ways for people to report damage to multiple groups. Are you guys talking at all? I'm just wondering if we reroute someone to you and they report their damage, if they have to kind of report to everybody else, or is there a system where you guys can sort of aggregate all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. The data is being shared. We have, you know, if the EOC is staffed with literally dozens, if not close to 100 people, and they're all talking constantly.
Okay.
And all of the links or the ways to find these places to report are also all in one place on the Leon County's Emergency Porthole website. So that's a place where people can go there and they can say, oh, I'm, you know, I have a residential home, I need to report damage, here's a link for that. Or I'm a business, I want to talk to the EOV, here's a link for that. Brittany, the spokesperson for Leon County, says that's a great place for if somebody's trying to figure out what are all these links
Regan,
you guys are talking about, that's a great place to go.
Okay, Regan, thank you so much for that. We have to step away for news. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Tom.
6 minutes past the hour, and this is a special edition of WFSU Public Media's Perspectives program for an unorthodox day, Friday, and an unorthodox subject, the recovery from a major hurricane in our area. I'm Tom Flanagan, along with WFSU-FM News Director Lynn Hatter and WFSU Public Media Director of Content Kim Kelling, and we're eager to hear from you to share your happenings in your world as you come back from the storm, or any questions that you might have that perhaps we can lend an assist in solving. And one of the big questions, of course, folks, is if you come back to your home and everything is fine, yes, a lot of smaller limbs and other debris in your yard, but your property looks essentially the way that you left it. That is good news. But for too many people, that is not the situation. There are large trees, branches, limbs that have done perhaps considerable damage to your home. And we have some folks right here on staff that have encountered that situation too. And you want to be made whole. Well, that's what property insurance is for. And so good lady, who is the former deputy insurance commissioner of the state of Florida, now operates an independent business and insurance consulting firm named Lisa Miller, gave us some advice in advance of the storm, and she returns now to give us some post-storm information as well. Lisa Miller, welcome back. How did you fare in the midst of the storm? Hello, Lisa. Yes, ma'am. We can hear you now. Hi.
Great. Hey, thank you. We did well. We have no power, but no damage. I'll take it. Not a, you know, we can live with that. And so many people in the neighborhoods, I rode around yesterday and spoke to just neighbors are talking in the yard. They're cleaning up all the pine straw. We're a resilient town. We're going to be fine.
Okay. But if people do find that there was some damage to the property, And they have to call their carrier. You had mentioned yesterday that we are experiencing some delays in that right now. So, my gosh, what do you do?
Well, a lot. It's all over the map, just depending on, you know, how many policies and how many crises there are. I'm noticing call times, you know, short as 50 seconds to maybe 6 or 8 minutes. So it's not a delay. It's just it's not going to be instantaneous. If 6 or 8 minutes means a lot. I just want to tell the listening audience that if they're, you know, sometimes sitting on the phone for 6 or 8 or maybe 10 minutes may seem burdensome, but remember, there's a lot of people that are calling in. You will get a claim number. The adjusters are dispatching. They just opened Interstate 10, so a lot of the adjusters are staging here in Tallahassee and will head west. 10 is open, which is a wonderful thing. So, you know, patience is the word of the day. If you have extreme damage, I was at a home yesterday with a tree in it. Several vendors came to the front door willing to help. We screened those vendors and selected one, and the tree's been removed and a tarp has been placed. So do what you would do, using a lot of common sense to protect your home, being safe, not to climb on a roof if you're not experienced at doing that, Tom.
All right, but there are sometimes folks who come out purporting to be vendors who perhaps have more, shall we say, nefarious purposes in mind. So how do you determine one from the other? Someone comes by and says, oh, I see your roof is messed up. My roofing company can fix it. Here, sign the contract. Give me some money. We'll get started on Monday. What do you do?
Thank you for asking that, Tom. There's a very dangerous document in the marketplace right now that some vendors are using. And across the top of it, it will say assignment of benefits, or it will have language in the contract that is typically just one page that says, I hereby assign all of my from my insurance policy to this vendor. Do not sign that document. You never want to relinquish your policy rights to anyone. They're yours. Other documents I saw yesterday are called a work authorization. Those are perfectly permissible, and they make sense. They'll say, I, as the homeowner, am authorizing XYZ tree removal company to do this work, and that tree removal company will work with my insurance company, but I retain all my rights. So I cannot stress it enough, Tom. When someone signs an assignment of benefits, it becomes a license to steal. And that's not a good thing. And some folks are using it, and I'm warning against signing it.
Lisa, this is Lynn, the news director. I have a question, a follow-up question for you, because right now, Florida, we're in a fight over assignment of benefits, right? So you have the insurance side who says, don't sign this, and then you have advocacy groups who say, yes, well, but my insurance company, you know, shorted me on the work, or, you know, this actually cost more than the repair that they authorized. Is there a middle ground in this battle of assignment of benefits? Because this happens every time a natural disaster occurs, and, you know, we heard about it last legislative session. We're probably going to hear about it more this session.
So think about this, Lynn. Think about this. Insurance claims have been paid, I'm almost 60 years old, for years, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, as long as I've been in the business 30 years. We never had assignments, and claims got paid every day. All of a sudden, in the past 4 or 5 years, this little document has ingrained itself in the claims-paying process. So we've never had to use it before. And then all of a sudden, it's become the holy grail to get a claim paid. The real driver here is the fact that that assignment becomes a lawsuit. And the laws in Florida allow legal fees to be paid in lawsuits. So there's a list of about a dozen lawyers that have been published that have the most lawsuits filed against insurance companies in the state. Mm-hmm. And every time a lawsuit is filed, an insurance company has a choice. Pay the check, pay the fees, pay the attorney's fees, write the check, we call it an economic gun, or get sued, and who knows what you'll be charged. And every time that cash register rings, yours and my rates go up.
Well, we are going to see that really get to the fore, as Lynn said, Lisa, during the upcoming legislative session. That is going to be a battle royale for sure. But another thing, someone comes along and they say, I'll take care of you. I'll fix you up. Just give me half now and half upon completion of the work. Is that also a red flag?
You know, it is, Tom. Use your common sense. If there's a vendor standing at your door and they're asking you to sign anything, my recommendation is you read it out loud. It's amazing what you hear when you read documents out loud. If they're asking you for money and you don't have it, call your insurance company and say, I have someone standing here. They want upfront cash payment. What do I do? In other words, the phrase that speed kills, that's the truth. When you do things quickly, waiting an hour is not going to make a big difference to sort things out, Tom. That's my advice. Don't give anybody any money. Don't sign anything that you're not certain, that doesn't give away your rights, and work with your insurance company versus assuming that they're not going to do right by you.
Okay.
And Lisa, I have one final question. This is Lynn again. You said that vendors just showed up at your door. You didn't request any estimates, did you? They just popped up, and is that normal?
They're canvassing neighborhoods, Lynn. Yesterday I was in Killarn, just driving around, stopped by my friend's house who had a tree, go through a roof. She had five vendors knock on her door the 3 hours I was there with her. I live in the east part of town and sit on my front porch a lot as I'm on the phone and working, and there were four huge trucks with, you know, tree removal, water removal, just driving to the neighborhood very slowly looking for work.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying be careful who comes to your front door, Lynn. Your friends come to your back door. Those you don't know come to your front door.
Got it. Thank you, Lisa.
Lisa Miller, independent business consultant and insurance expert, joining us here on our special edition of Perspectives. And Lisa, don't be a stranger. Anytime an insurance issue comes up, we always enjoy talking to you. And thanks for sharing that information with us this morning.
You folks do great work, and we appreciate you educating the world. Have a good day.
You do the same here. A lot of things are still going on despite the nasty situation that we continue to find ourselves in, folks. We heard from Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum yesterday that Longest Table is still cooking for this Sunday.
Yeah, and I want to just say something about that. Some people criticize why are we still doing these events like the Longest Table, and I guess there's a movie night at Cascades Park on Saturday night, and there are going to be food trucks. I think it's about helping people feel less isolated. You know, these storms are a way to feel so alone and to get the community together, to share, to have a meal. The food is free at the Longest Table. It's a great way to get a meal and to share stories of how we all got through this together and what we need to do going forward.
Now, it kind of reminds me of, remember the, Grinch stealing Christmas, and even though all of the toys were gone and the other accoutrements of the season had been grinched up, the community still got together around the town square to raise their voices and song. Kind of reminds me of that a little bit. So something that will not be going on, however, is the Tallahassee Walk to End Alzheimer's. It was set to go this weekend, tomorrow. It has been postponed. The new date is Saturday, November 10th at Cascades Park. So we wanted to share that, the Walk to End Alzheimer's, again, at Cascades Park, coming up on November 10th. Why don't we take a little time out coming up in just a moment here. Then we will go on to line one. Ashley Edwards, director of Tallahassee Parks and Rec, will talk about comfort stations and that movie that you mentioned, Kim, coming up this weekend, to give us an opportunity to come together as a community and say, wow, we dodged the bullet on that one, or not.
Or this is how I can help you.
Exactly. And that is something else that about all of our resources have been emphasizing universally, is that we need as a community to lean more on each other now than perhaps we have heretofore. And that may be a good thing for all of us in a situation where we find ourselves so often divided along fault lines of politics or race or any of these other things that potentially can divide us. Whenever you have a common threat That seems to be a unifying factor in the human condition, so perhaps that will be happening here too. You're listening to a very special edition of Perspectives on WFSU Public Media. Tom Flanagan along with Kim Kelling and Lynn Hatter. We want to hear from you. How did you fare during the storm? How are you getting your life back together? What would you like to know that perhaps we can find out for you? 850-414-1234, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to our special edition of Perspectives on WFSU Public Media. And a reminder that we are going to be doing it again tomorrow and Sunday as well. We can talk and talk and talk about what's going on and how we are getting along in the post-storm recovery situation. We'll be with you tomorrow from 1 until 3, also back on Sunday for a one-hour wrap-up conversation from 2 until 3. This, before we go to the phone, and Ashley from the Southern Scholarship Foundation, folks, all houses on Stadium Drive now have power, including the office. Some minor damage, but they are doing pretty well, and we are happy to hear that. On line one, Ashley Edwards, director of Tallahassee Parks and Rec, and we are going to talk about comfort stations and movies and such. Ashley, are you doing okay? Did you make it through all right?
Yes, I did. Very fortunate, and yes, thank you for asking.
All righty. Well, tell us about the comfort stations. I hear that you may want to drop down to the Leroy Main Library downtown, that there's a big party going on there all day.
There is. The county has opened a comfort station at the Leon County Public Library. We have folks there from 211 helpline folks that can be available. We also have resources in place for people that may need information on how to fill out FEMA claims, things like that. And then the city, we have opened two comfort stations, one at the Lincoln Neighborhood Center in the Frenchtown area, and then one at the Truesdell Gymnastics and Aquatics Center. And at the Truesdell Center, not only do we have water and snacks, air conditioning, and power for people to charge things up, we also have the pool open for free for anybody that might want to come swim. I know the weather's cooled off a little bit today, but the pool water is heated. And we also have showers available, hot showers available for free at the Truesdell Aquatic Center as well. And, of course, at the Lincoln Neighborhood Center and at Truesdell, we have games for kids. Again, 211 Big Bend Resource Hotline is here. We do have folks that can help educate people about the claims process. And again, we're just encourage anybody that wants to come out, get a little break from no power to come on as our crews continue to work so diligently here on day two of recovery as they continue to try to work through getting everybody back up and running.
All right. You know, what's with this movie situation here this weekend? What's up with that?
We figured everybody might need a little break, get out of the house, and want to kind of go do something fun with the kids. I know the kids are probably getting a little stir-crazy, too. So at Cascades Park on Saturday night, starting at 6 o'clock, we're going to have food trucks out there. We're going to have family-friendly games and activities, bounce houses, face painting, balloons, all good stuff. And then at 7:30, we're going to show the movie A Wrinkle in Time there in the amphitheater at Cascades Park. All free, open to the public. Just encourage, you know, everybody to come out, bring your blankets, and join us for free. Sit on the lawn or sit down in the seats in the amphitheater. And, again, just kind of take a little break, get away from it all. I know that we all know this has been such an inconvenient time for folks, and we just want to try to do any little thing we can do to help make it easier on everybody as we're all getting back through the restoration process.
Oh, what fun. We will see you down there. Food trucks and movies and a hot shower at the Truesdell Center. You can't beat it.
Sounds good to me.
Ashley Edwards, Director of Tallahassee Parks and Rec, thank you for checking in and providing that update for us here. Before we go to Regan, I think she's at the EOC. Can we get Ms. King on the line? Because she's been waiting here. Bryony King, how are you doing?
Good morning. How are you all doing?
Hey, we're hanging in. So but what's your situation right now?
Well, it's not great.
but we're in a lot better shape than a lot of people. We live off Kings Point in Pretty Bayou in Panama City, not out on the beach. And our neighborhood looks like a virtual war zone. There is no power, but there's also every line down as far as the eye can see. Our home didn't sustain any substantial damage. Some of our neighbors had trees through their roofs, and there's two neighbors that had their second floor completely wiped off and in their yard. So given what some people have, our house sustained minimal damage.
Well, that's good news for sure. But, Bronnie, are you seeing a lot of efforts to get the power back on, like power trucks and that sort of thing roaming around?
Yes, my husband's been out looking for gas this morning, and he saw several relief trucks coming in. I think he's going to talk a little bit about that.
Gotcha. Yeah, the power trucks, I mean, they were rolling in like 20 and 30 deep. I mean, it was crazy. They're coming in from every direction. I think they were delayed because the main streets coming in to, you know, like 77, all that was impassable for big trucks, you know, but they're starting to really roll in. I think yesterday they were kind of assessing the situation, and today they're everywhere. There's power trucks everywhere. It's unbelievable.
Well, when you were out trying to find gas this morning, were you successful? Is there anything pumping gas over there?
Yes. We actually made it over into Panama City Beach, and on the beach, Panama City Beach is not damaged near as bad, and they've actually got power on Back Beach Road, and so we pulled into a gas station, and they opened it while we were there, and there's probably, it was a time thumb in front of Lowe's, and we had to sit in line for a long time, but you were able to get $25 worth of gas, and that's what they were rationing it at, so. Really, I think people would be all right with, if they could figure out a way to get gas in here for the generators. Lowe's on Back Beach had generators, and they were selling those today, so that's a good thing. people were getting generators, didn't get them before, and so it's really just a fuel thing. If they can get fuel in here, I think that would help tremendously.
Gotcha.
And of course, there seems to be water around. You know, the gas station was full of water, but it was cash only. Mm-hmm. And there's no ATM machines. There's nothing that works. So if you ain't got cash, then it's not good. But now Lowe's, they could take cards. So you're able to use, you know, a Lowe's card or whatever in there. So.
Gotcha. You two elected to ride out the storm, correct?
That's correct.
Let me ask you, I want to ask you first what you experienced during the storm. And then the second question I have is, I know that there were evacuation orders issued sort of in your area. And if I could ask sort of what influenced your decision to try and ride it out versus, you know, leaving.
Sure. We're fairly new residents to Panama City. We had a condo out on the beach that we sold in April. We bought a house in May, and we moved down here so my son could start middle school in Panama City Beach here in August. So we had neighbors that were able to kind of guide us a little bit that have lived here, most of their adult lives, at least in that same neighborhood. And our neighbor behind us kind of gave us, you know, we live on a canal, so he kind of gave us an idea of what it was like when Hurricane Opal came through. He kind of told us to be prepared for electric, for without electric for about a week or two. And so he said, as long as you have a generator and as long as you can sustain yourself for about 2 weeks, make sure that you have batteries, flashlights, you know, a safety kit, all that, you should be fine. And that was the same consensus throughout all of our neighbors. They all felt the same way. So we thought, okay, well, you know, these are the people that are sort of the subject matter experts that have lived here their whole lives. We felt like that was their guidance was as good as any.
Gotcha.
So we did prepare, and we thought we were going to get hit with a Category 2, Category 3 storm. It was the eve of Hurricane Michael when we found out that it was strengthening, and it showed no signs of slowing down. And so we actually went outside and started doing some more preparation that we hadn't before. We boarded up all of our windows. We secured everything we could, getting everything in our garage, making sure there was no debris that could be a potential projectile. And by that point, you know, it was too late to leave. We would have been caught in the middle of it. That was at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
On the eve of Hurricane Michael. So we have a two-story home, and we have a downstairs hallway that has brick on each side, interior brick on each side. So we knew if we could stay in that downstairs hallway around that brick, that was the safest part of our home, and that's where we stayed for the duration of the storm.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this. In hindsight, it's always 2020. Do you wish you would have gone, or do you feel fairly comfortable in that decision?
No, in hindsight, I would have left. If I had known it was going to reach Category 4 strength, become a major hurricane, and potentially Category 5, I think the local news posted on Facebook that we were only 2 miles an hour shy of Category 5 strength, we certainly would have made the decision to leave. I think that from what we've heard from most of our neighbors and most of the people since the hurricane has passed, is how much it caught everyone off guard. Not even the forecasters forecasted it to be this strong. Whereas in Hurricane Florence in North Carolina, they were preparing for a Category 4 storm all along. We were not.
Mm-hmm.
In Panama City, they were preparing for a Category 2, low Category 3. And when the winds change up to a Category 4, Category 5 strength, that's a totally different dynamic in terms of preparation and evacuation.
Indeed it is.
Boy, well, that's right for sure. Bronnie King, thank you so much. I'm glad you guys made it through, and at least in semi-one-piece fashion there. And I know
yes.
It's going to be a long road back, but a great update. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, and best of luck to you and the family, okay?
Thank you, and thanks to all the responders and all the power companies and all the emergency officials and all of the military personnel that are coming to help us. We really appreciate it.
We'll reamplify that. Thank you again, Bronnie King. And
have a good day.
You do the same. Take care. Let's see, Evan, do we have Regan up there at the Emergency Ops Center? Yes, she is, eagerly awaiting an update to provide to us. Hey, Regan.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Real good at this end. How about yours?
All right. Going well here. I'm joined by Chad Abrams. He's the EMS chief here in Leon County. Chad, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Chad, you were telling me a little bit about sort of your focus right now is thinking about safety as people begin cleaning up from this storm.
Yeah, definitely. We want to make sure that people are mindful of the fact that, you know, if they're out there using power equipment, chainsaws, removing trees, that they probably don't do that on a regular basis, and that they really need to be very cautious with that. You know, be on the lookout for things like beehives and just different things like that that people have run into. And also, you know, we would encourage you not to burn your debris. We've had some accidents already from people burning debris. Again, they went into it thinking that, you know, it was going to be a perfectly safe thing to do, and then you know, someone was injured from that. So that's really our focus. And in addition to that, we also want to make sure that people think about staying hydrated. They're doing a lot of physical stuff that they wouldn't normally do. And, you know, some people have medical conditions that they're making a little bit worse by doing a little bit too much work. So that's really our focus right now.
Mm-hmm. And another issue I understand is thinking about generators and avoiding carbon monoxide issues that might come up from people who are maybe not using generators correctly.
Right. We definitely want to make sure that people are using generators correctly. The county's been pushing out information along with our other partners. You know, if you're using a generator or really any power tool for that matter, you know, make sure you're doing it outside the house. It should be, you know, 20 feet or more away from the home. Don't have open windows on that side. And if you are using a generator, you'd probably want to have a CO2 detector in the house to make sure that you're not getting that into your home. Because remember, you can't see it, can't smell it. So that's the only way to know if you're keeping it out of your house.
What about just because power's out, people are dealing with a lot of just, you know, you don't have air conditioning, you're hot, things are out of the ordinary. Does that pose some kind of health risk for people?
Yeah, I think that people that are at high risk, many of them took advantage of the sheltering opportunities that are out there. They've sought out those tools and supplies that they need to make it through an event like this and that they're prepared for this kind of an event. We have been offering assistance through the EOC, directing them to the community partners that are able to provide them with some kind of assistance whenever they do have a need that they that's not met at this point.
All right. Back there at the WFSU studios, any questions here for Chief Abrams, Chief of the EMS?
Yeah. Hey, Chad, Tom Flanagan. How you doing, sir?
Well, and you?
Hey, we could not be doing better, but I noticed that during one of the briefings, the city and county folks said that even during the height of the storm, you guys only rolled, what, 3 calls for service? That just seems incredible.
We, at the height of that storm, we did have to make a decision to hold off on responding to a few calls. However, we did have phone contact with those people. We could provide them assistance over the phone of what they could do. But there were 3 incidents that that there was a response made to during the storm. That the decision was made that it was a, you know, extraordinary condition. So the fire department responded out there, but we did not have to transport anybody from those. So we're very fortunate.
Yeah.
Compared to many areas.
I was going to say, given the intensity of the storm, the fact that we are a community pushing that 300,000 population mark, and we did not have any fatalities or even major injuries, to me is beyond mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's nice to see that people really took the advice to either shelter, you know, evacuate, you know, to take care of themselves. And another thing that we've seen a lot of is people out there just helping their neighbors and checking on them. That's really helpful too. There's a lot of elderly people. You know, we were talking earlier about people with medical conditions. If you know someone like that, just check on them. They might need something pretty minor, but to them, it's a big deal to get. And so, you know, that's important too. And that's been a great thing to see here in this community.
But as we recover, you pointed out before that we had trees that came down, but many trees may be weakened to the point that you can't see and you're out doing some stuff and suddenly what looked like a pretty solid limb is coming right down on your noggin. That would not be a good thing either.
Yeah, yes, sir. That's we have had a couple of incidents where that's occurred in town. Again, you know, you're doing a task that you're not really trained to do and you don't do very often. It's going to be dangerous. I mean, it's inherently dangerous. You don't think through those things sometimes before you do it. And that does cause issues. So we certainly encourage people to keep that in mind when they're going out there. Don't take on a task that's too big for them. You know, try to find someone from your network or a contractor that's able to take care of that for you.
Chad Abrams, the Director of Emergency Response for the folks who roll ambulances here in Greater Leon County. Thank you so much for all your information and for what you guys and gals have been doing to keep us all safe and in good shape here after the storm. And Regan McCarthy, any word on our nooner coming up for a briefing with city and county officials yet?
No, last I checked with communications folks, they say that's still not a confirmed event. So I'll keep you updated as I hear more.
We'll stay tuned. Thank you, Regan McCarthy.
Regan, before you go, is there any chance you can get an update about Talquin? We've given a lot of city updates, but not much from Talquin. And if you have any way to find anything out, we'd appreciate that.
I'll see what I can find out.
Thank you, Regan McCarthy. We'll be right back with our special storm recovery perspectives in a moment. We are back on our post-storm perspectives on WFSU. Tom Flanagan along with Kim Kelling and Lynn Hatter. Before we go to Lynn, she has something on trash, but I have critters. Storm update from St. Francis Wildlife. Angels with chainsaws showed up. And the road now is passable out there in Havana. Trees were removed from the fawn and the possum cages. Those guys are okay. Still have a huge oak limb on the hospital building and many, many fallen trees that are blocking trails to outdoor cages and more that need to be cut up and removed. Need more angels with chainsaws to also bring non-ethanol marine gas for the hospital generator. They need folks to pick up the laundry. Lynn mentioned that before, and the phone still isn't working. They're out on Salem Road. That's 4 miles northwest of Havana. The folks out at St. Francis Wildlife, so they're trying to get back in the thing. Okay, trash.
Trash. Yes, we have people asking when will the trucks come rolling. We will tell you that some trash services have resumed today, so you should start seeing trucks rolling over to you. With respect to residential garbage collection, Wednesday pickup will be collected Friday. Thursday's pickup will be collected on Saturday. Friday's pickup will be collected on Sunday, and the regular schedule will resume on Monday. So again, for people inquiring, when will the trash start coming back around? Just tell you that one more time. If you're scheduled for Wednesday, you will now be picked up Friday, which is today. If you were scheduled for a Thursday, you will be collected on Saturday. If you were scheduled for Friday, you will now be collected Sunday. So basically, whatever your day is, think 2 days later, that's when you're going to go. And by Monday, they're hoping to be back on a regular schedule. So that is with respect to the residential trash pickup.
All right. And the fees and all of that have been suspended.
Fees are waived for the landfill as well. And Tom, I know we do still have more people asking, when will my power come back on? I know that is the big question. We had someone from Seminole Manor, that's right across from the WFSU studios. It's the neighborhood right here on Orange. You guys will likely, I'm going to guess, get power when we get power. We're all in the same boat right now. But we did have a spokesman for the sheriff's office telling us yesterday how this restoration goes. And just to kind of recap that, they are going basically on the biggest circuits with the most people, and they're working their way down the system. So there is no way to determine when your neighborhood specifically, we had the same question coming in from Waverly Hills, there's no way to determine when your neighborhood is going to get power back, but they're basically working from biggest to smallest and sort of going down the line that way. And just to let you know, Scott Maddox did post earlier, Commissioner Scott Maddox said that the city's goal is to have 90% of city power restored by this weekend. So that is only a goal for the customers within City of Tallahassee limits. It is a completely different situation for people who are on Talquin
and we're hoping
Duke and Gulf.
And we're hoping to get some updates.
To get some updates on everyone else, because we know that Gadsden, Franklin, Wakulla are still completely dark, essentially.
Tom, I also want to let you know that Star Metro has resumed operations today, but they are on their Saturday schedule. Also, dial-a ride services are also in place, and it is free. So if people are stuck and they need to get out, those systems are back and running.
All righty. And a lady also, the same one who had the trash question, was very concerned about her lack of internet access, and she is not the only one. We understand that with devices winking out, the inability to recharge because of the power outages. You do have the library, but again, that puts you out on the road, and so we have that catch-22. On one hand, they're saying, stay off the road. On the other hand, it's, I have no connectivity.
Yeah, that's a situation. Leon County did let us know that they had two of the cell phone towers that croaked during the storm. They are still working to get those back functional again, but that is why your cell phone coverage is spotty. That is why your internet service is spotty. We're doing our best to keep the information coming, folks, here, but that is why, and we will hopefully, as soon as we know more about the communication situation, we'll let you know, because it's not just a problem here in Leon County. It is also a problem in Bay County as well. They've been without communication services now for a couple of days. They went completely dark, not only with respect to power, but with communication equipment as well. But yes, just keep, all I can tell you is to just keep trying and keep listening.
So an update from Talquin. This is as of 7 a.m. this morning. We hope we can get a little bit more from Regan. Leon County has 21,888 people still without power. Gadsden, it's 15,093. Wakulla, 7,738. Liberty, 3,308. So a total of 48,027 people in the greater county and surrounding counties that use Talquin Electric are still without power. We'll try to get a sense of when they hope to get these people back up.
And we should also note, Kim, that in their statement, because they did issue a statement, they said Talquin's water systems sustained damage during the storm due to uprooted trees. Various systems are running off of generators while others are having repairs made. They're currently working to get all of them back up and running as quickly as as possible. It's not just an electric situation. It's a water situation. These are the things that power our pump stations, power our sewage systems. We already know of one. We had a wastewater spill that had to be reported to DEP because one of our pump stations failed. So these are really critical systems, and workers are scrambling to get them up and running. This is a massive storm. It affected, you know, effectively from Taylor County all the way out west, you know, to Gulf and Bay County. This is a significant area with a lot of counties and a lot of people out. And so first responders are trying to get to a lot of us to try and get these systems back online. Again, in some of our harder hit places, it could take weeks to get some of these systems back up.
And in some of our more rural parts of the county, like the Fort Braden Community Center, the Appalachie Regional Park, Woodville Park and Rec Center, Concord School, and Fred George Greenway are all open as comfort stations. So for those more rural folks, that's good to know.
Well, let's see if we can get a comforting word from a member of our WFSU family. Now, Kim, you may think that you and General Manager David Mullins run this place, but you are sadly mistaken. The guy who really calls the shots is our very own Lydell Rawls, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Lydell, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great, but what's your situation? How are you and the family getting through?
Well, we're doing pretty good. We were over in Gaston when it happened. It's extensive damage over there. My house was pretty safe. My neighborhood was pretty safe. But as soon as you get out of that neighborhood, you start going closer to 90, and you have problems getting down the roads. We had a previous engagement that we had to do in Fort Walton Beach, and our lights were out, so we wanted to get the kids somewhere where they could be more comfortable. So we took the kids to Fort Walton, and that's when we truly saw the devastation. You know, I-10 was closed at the time, and we had to drive up to a 2.5-hour trip ended up taking about 6 hours. We tried to pull up GPS, and GPS did the best it could, but don't think you can pull up your GPS and make a succinct route, because so many roads are down that you don't know about.
we had to back up and turn around so many times. A 2.5 hour trip ended up taking about 6.5 hours.
So are you actually back home now?
We are actually in Fort Walton now. We rode through Georgia. We had to take a really weird route that took us up through Georgia, almost up to Alabama. And the entire way, there are huge trees in the streets that snap power lines. And this went far out from Panama City, far out from Tallahassee and Quincy. It was really mind-boggling how far out the devastation was.
So any estimation is when you might be able to even get back?
Well, when we, once again, GPS not really being what it is, well, somewhere along the way along our route, we got close to I-10, and we said, we better just check and see if this part is open. And even though it said it was closed on GPS, it was open, and that was right at Chipley. So we were able to get on at Chipley and make our way straight to Fort Walton. So if things keep looking like that, we should be able to get back on Sunday so we can get in on Monday and be able to help everybody out.
Well, one other thing to look at is FL-511. That is a site that gives updates on Florida roads, Lydell. That's a really good resource to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think we pulled them up a couple of times, and I think we actually made a report just because we were off in a really back road that just was unpassable. It was just mud on both sides and deep ditches, but it was open on the site, and so we kind of told them that that one was down.
Well, be safe coming back, Lydell.
Yeah, what a harrowing tale. We'll look forward to you, and hope we can see you bright and bushy-tailed on Monday morning, Lydell. Thanks for the report. Out to the Emergency Operations Center, where Regan McCarthy awaits. Hey, Regan.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going.
Hey, I am joined here at the Emergency Operations Center by Tallahassee City Manager Reese Goad. Reese, what are things looking like as far as our recovery efforts here? Give us an update.
Sure. It's good to be with you guys. Clearly, I think you've described well that this has been a very serious event for our community. It's impacted us greatly as it relates to our infrastructure, and I know homes and businesses have been damaged. But I will tell you that I am so encouraged by the community and the work that I've seen. I was at early today, before daybreak, I was at our electric control center. We have hundreds of people coming from around the country to help us. We have 30 mutual aid utilities from around the country, as far away as Ohio and Oklahoma and Texas. Nebraska came in yesterday, so it's a far reach of people that are coming to help us, and so it's very encouraging, and it gives me a lot of confidence that we will restore our community back to normal as quickly as possible. So that's my outlook today. I do realize that we have trees down in our community, but we had our major roadways open and passable yesterday, very close to having all of our traffic signals in our community energized. I believe we're at about 90% now, so that certainly good signs of progress that we see toward restoration.
Mm-hmm. Reese, what about, I know people have been calling in and they're anxious to know, you know, when is their power going to get restored? Do we know sort of where we're working today or where our focus is or, you know, like who's next?
Yeah, let me tell you our approach today. So we had quite a bit of damage to our transmission system. Our generation system, in fact, was impacted in terms of our ability to operate it. Our transmission connection to Georgia through the Southern Company to the north of us still has not been restored because of the damage to the north of us has not been repaired. Our system's been repaired in that area. So we have big bulk parts of our electric network that is still being worked today. I expect our transmission work to be complete today, and that will certainly help us move forward. So those things are happening simultaneous with the work on our distribution system, at our substations, in our circuits. You'll hear those terms as we move forward in time to connect our businesses and our neighborhoods. And so this morning I consulted with our electric department, and they have made a goal. I think it's an aggressive goal, but I believe they're fully capable of doing it with the resources that we have, of having 90% of our system restored by the end of the weekend. So we started off with more than 90% of our customers without power after the storm, in setting an aggressive goal by the end of this weekend, having the large part of our community back in service.
What about another thing people are really focusing on is clearing debris out of their own yards, right? And so I know that debris is starting to kind of pile up on the sides of the roads. Do you know anything about, I know after past storms, there's been sort of a process for how we're going to start picking that debris up. And you know, there's been sort of a little more leniency on how big your piles can get. Do you know what our plans are with dealing with that debris at this point?
I do. I will tell you that our community beautification and solid waste department has been very prepared for this storm. We have resources of our own within the city. We also have engaged contractors that do this after major disasters. They have been engaged. They're here in Tallahassee. And then we're encouraging, go ahead now, go clean your yard, put it at the curb. There is no limit. Put it at the curb, pile it high. We will bring some of the biggest equipment that you've probably seen in and collect it from our neighborhoods and our roads. The tentative plan is to begin that effort on Monday. We want to make sure the roads are passable, that these large trucks and heavy equipment can get into our neighborhoods and start collecting that debris. So we anticipate beginning that process as early as Monday. So I would encourage folks that can go ahead and enjoy the weather, get outside and clean the yards and put it by the curb. Don't worry about the normal limits because we're going to pick everything up.
What about, I'm hearing a little bit of conflicting messaging from the city and the county as far as people are saying, hey, stay off the roads, make room for our utility trucks to get through so they can start fixing those power lines. But also I'm hearing, hey, come out to our movie night, come to Longest Table. How long should I stay off the roads and when's it time to just return to normal life?
You know, I heard that discussion earlier and I think it's a great question because we've asked the public to stay off the roads. And mainly as we get our traffic signals working, as we open up the roads from trees and down lines, and we're making a ton of progress on that. So, you know, I think later today, if I was at home, I'd probably get out. I'd go to the movies. By the way, some of the movie theaters are open. I'd get out and enjoy the weather. We clearly understand that you can only stay at home for so long, and we understand communications are limited. And people need places to go to do that. So we're working hard to make sure that the community can move around. You may not have electricity at your home, but you can go to a restaurant. You can go to some of the stores, the many stores that are being open. So I think we're beginning to pivot that message of we don't want you just driving around needlessly. But if you want to go somewhere, you want to enjoy yourself, if there's somewhere you need to go, we're getting very close to that point where the roads are ready for you, the traffic signals are ready, we're clearing the roads. And I think we're moving forward. So as we think to tomorrow, right, we want to make sure there are events and we encourage people to enjoy Tallahassee. The fact is, this is our first real snap of fall weather. We want to enjoy it. And so that I think you're hearing that message start to come out.
All right. Any questions back there in the WFSU studios for Reese?
Oh, just one. Hey, Reese, Tom Flanagan, how you doing, sir?
Very good. Thank you, Tom, for what you're doing.
Well, we really thank the city, the county, all of our folks who are just working so expeditiously to try to get us back to a normal situation. We had heard initially that there may be some problems at the generating end, particularly down at Purdom. Is that all up and running along with the Hopkins Power Plant? We got full generating capacity here?
Tom, it is. It's we have all of our generators ready to return to service. We turned on our largest unit in Hopkins Unit 2 last night because of the restoration efforts as we add customers and pick up load. I will tell you that in the middle of the storm, though, it was pretty harrowing. We lost units when we lost our interconnection to Southern Company. It created a frequency or vibration in the system, if you will, that created faults. And Rob McGarr and his team did a great job holding the system together and quickly moved into restoration mode. So our generation portion of the system we feel good about today, and it stands ready to serve our community. As I mentioned earlier, our transmission lines, that we're still working on them, that's hard work, heavy work. But I expect that to be complete today.
Rico, the city manager for the city of Tallahassee, thank you again, Reese. We appreciate it. Regan McCarthy will check back in with you shortly. And that concludes our special perspectives today as we do the storm recovery thing in the wake of Hurricane Michael. Thanks to Lynn and to Kim. And we'll be back tomorrow.